It's Saturday morning at 10 a.m., so you know what that means. It's time for What's Up, Ocala? With tens of thousands of viewers every month on our YouTube channel and millions so far on TikTok, we are joined by our host, local owner, and broker of Great Expectations Realty, Andrea Praber.
Good morning and welcome to What's Up, Ocala. I'm your host, Andrew Praber. I'm the broker owner of Great Expectations Realty right here in Ocala, Florida, and I'm super excited. I have my tickets on the Bright Line. That's right. I will finally be riding the high-speed train that I have been eagerly awaiting the arrival of for years. People in Ocala will vouch for it. I've literally driven them all nuts. You may wonder why I'm so excited about the Bright Line train. I am not actually a huge big train enthusiast, although I can definitely see the appeal. Those are some pretty sleek trains, but that's not it. What I see is what may happen next. But before we expand our minds into the possibilities of this train, let's talk a little bit about history. I'm a huge history buff anyway. So when I moved to Florida, it was not only the plan to have a high-speed train system functioning throughout Florida, it was actually a law. That's right. The history of high-speed rail in Florida began with a constitutional mandate from voters in 2000, and this mandate required the construction of a high-speed transportation system linking the state's major urban areas. So the Florida High-Speed Rail Authority, FHSRA, was established in 2001 to plan, administer, and implement this system. And it had an initial focus on connecting St. Petersburg, Tampa, and Orlando. Although this constitutional mandate, I can't even talk today, was later repealed by voters in 2004, the legislative mandate for FHSRA, it remains in place because the need for the project remains. In fact, in some parts, I would say it's actually getting dangerously desperate. So what was this proposed project? It was actually aimed in enhancing intercity passenger mobility between Tampa and Orlando. That was a huge directive, Tampa and Orlando. It was supposed to provide an alternate to highway and air travel because of the growing population, because of tourism, employment, all of this, all of that existing transportation was already at capacity at that point, and it was already insufficient, especially the Florida Interstate Highway System. And while some capacity improvements were planned for the Florida Highway System, additional capacity, well, it was even needed at that point in order to meet future demand. Congratulations, we're at future demand. There's a cap. Did you know that they cannot build the highway larger than 10 lanes? That's 5 lanes in each direction. It is absolutely illegal to build more than that. So ponder I-4 in Orlando and Tampa. Think about what that was like 24 years ago when this mandate occurred, and now what it's like today. They were building the high-speed train for us for use today. Despite the uncertainty surrounding the future of high-speed rail in Florida, FHSRA believed it was valuable to complete all the assessments. They had to do environmental, they had to do impact assessments, they had to go through all these processes. And the goal was to be able to provide an alternative solution to the challenges that we're facing, especially in the Tampa-Orlando corridor. So basically, the history of high-speed rail in Florida includes this constitutional mandate, the establishment of FHSRA, and ongoing efforts to address these transportation needs in an area that had increasing demand at that point for a time in the future that we are now seeing right now. And they needed low-cost transportation on a daily basis. Well, obviously, high-speed trains. The state of Florida in 2000 was looking to the near future and seeing those transportation issues, and we're currently facing them. Yep. It's now nearly a quarter of a century later, and we are just now seeing that high-speed train possibility on the horizon. But it's not from the state. It's actually from a private company, no less. And why not? I mean, there's already a mandate in place. It's kind of, sort of. It was kind of hobbled together in 2004. And it still exists, though. Not only that, but they had already done all of those environmental impact studies and all of those studies and assessments and so forth. So Yeah, Brightline didn't have to do that. It was actually done for them several years in advance. Not only that, but there were grants in place already. And it was basically perfect for someone daring enough to see the opportunity, bold enough to actually take that opportunity and do the work. But that's not where the FHSRA stopped. No, you have to look at the vision for the future they had mapped out. So the beginning of the high-speed train system in Florida was supposed to begin in St. Petersburg, traveling with a stop in Tampa, and then in Lakeland, and then on to Orlando. But, and here's the part that always gets me excited. If you look at their plans, which you can easily find online, there was a route heading north from Tampa and one from Orlando that combined the villages and then continue north into a stop specifically in Ocala and then into Gainesville. And then it continues north to a line that runs east and west that follows I-10, allowing access to Tallahassee and Jacksonville, respectively. So am I excited about trains, or am I excited about Brightline following the plans that the state of Florida made decades ago? I'm more excited about that. I mean, can you imagine what it's going to do to change our daily lives even here in Florida? Because if that's the case, if they actually do this, I'm curious to see what happens after Tampa. Will the next phase be north to us, or maybe they're going to go south and complete the circuit and just basically primarily stay in South Florida for now? But let's consider this for a bit. I mean, what will happen if a stop is created for Lakeland, for example? I mean, how many people in Lakeland will be able to easily commute to Tampa or Orlando for work? I mean, as a realtor, I can assure you that the homes are far more expensive in both of those cities. St. Petersburg, Tampa, Orlando, way more expensive as opposed to like Lakeland. So cost of living, huge difference. So what about Ocala? Well, if anyone in Ocala can hop on the Brightline, enjoy a nice comfy chair and some Wi-Fi, maybe some snacks, and then arrive at work within an hour, how great is that? Even better, there will be less distracted drivers as they won't try to write an email or review a report while they're trying to drive on the highway. They can do it in those comfy chairs instead with a table right there. Instead of 20 years from now having to worry about expanding I-75 yet again and going through years of construction, we would have less traffic despite even more daily commuters. That's not even going into the villages. I mean, can you imagine allowing a lot more freedom to visit the cruise ports easily or to take their grandkids to Disney or to the beach in St. Pete for the day? Maybe go to the Glacier Children's Museum in downtown Tampa, or maybe go and see a show or something like that. Stepping onto the local high-speed train system would allow for a lot more freedom for a lot of our local seniors in the villages, or I mean, really anywhere in Florida. So how is traveling on the Brightline? I mean, what's it like? How can you get the best deals? Are the premium seats with the premium lounge access, is it all worth the price and the hype? Am I getting excited about something that really isn't that great right now? Truthfully, I don't know yet, but I will be investigating all of this for you and will come back soon to report on it. So just stay tuned for that in the next few weeks. I will be going on that. I've already got my tickets on the Brightline. I'm going to try the low-cost tickets and then the premium tickets. I'm going to try it all out. All right, we're going on a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to go over all the fun stuff that you could do this weekend. And while we normally do the current stats and what's going on in real estate in Marion County, we're actually going to do Central Florida because we've got an annual report that came back. So come back for that.
At Great Expectations Realty, we believe that you should expect more from your real estate experience. When you hire a realtor to sell your home, you should expect experienced advice on staging your home, professional photography, aerial photos, virtual video tours, and a national presence online to advertise your home to the largest pool of buyers. Your realtor should communicate from start to finish, and always remember this is your home. You are in the driver's seat. We believe that if you aren't happy with our efforts, you should be able to fire us. We don't have cancellation fees, and our sellers never pay transaction fees either. Call Great Expectations Realty at 352-817-4000. 9160 or go online to greatexpectationsrealty.com to get your free analysis of your home's market price. Great Expectations Realty. Expect more from real estate.
All right, welcome back. All right, before we get into the sales stats this week, I want to ask a small favor. If you're enjoying this program, please let us know. The website here at the radio station is classichitsocala.com or the Facebook page. Or if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, you can leave a comment in the comment section below. And if you're a huge fan and you think that we've really helped you or educated you or just entertained you in some way, Share. We don't have some huge, massive marketing budget or anything like that. This is Ocala, okay? Go ahead and if you're on YouTube, go ahead and click subscribe if you haven't already and get your friends, family, neighbors to do the same. All right. Now, normally this is where we jump into the local stats for this week, but the annual report for the MLS has just come out and I want to share it with you. So what is the annual report for Seller MLS? What is Seller MLS? Okay, Seller MLS used to be called Mid Florida, and it was actually the MLS that was encompassing, I think at that point it was like 9 counties through the central part of Florida. Now, I believe it has, good grief, I think 13 counties, but again, it's still in Central Florida. So this is going to go all through. This is Orlando, this is Tampa, this is Gainesville, this is Ocala, this is all of the above. Okay, so this is what we're getting into right now. So we have this 13-page report. Don't worry, I am not going to go through the whole thing with you. But I did want to go through some of these numbers, and it's really interesting to see that Ocala is pretty much, even though we're still growing exponentially, we're still right in line with the rest of Central Florida. So, all right, so residential unit sales, basically all of them, whether it's a condo, house, it doesn't matter. They obviously have declined to the lowest point in the past 5 years. This is what I thought was really interesting because, of course, everybody's like, oh, well, we had crazy high sales during, you know, right around COVID. But actually, 2019, pre-COVID, we actually our sales have declined to way below that, less than half of what the sales were for 2019. That is craziness. So looking at, you know, the unit sales year over year, they're down 23% from the peak set in 2021. And the inventory has increased. I mean, so much. The monthly average for 2023 is below that in 2019 as far as how many are actually being sold, though. So kind of interesting. It's actually, let's see, in Seller MLS for December 2023, we were just over 4 months of inventory at the current sales rate, placing it at the same level as early 2020. What? So we are pre-COVID at this point and then some. All right. The sales volume of residential property in Seller MLS was over $80 billion in 2023. You're like, $80 billion? That's a lot. Okay, consider this. That's St. Pete. That is Tampa. That is Lakeland. That is Orlando. That is Ocala. That's Gainesville. That is a massive area of the state. So to say $80 billion for that many houses for an entire year, no, that's not actually that much. For 2021, it was $86 billion. And that's because a lot of that, we would have sold even more houses, but we didn't have any houses to sell. And we ran out of houses, okay? So more houses have been built, which is great for inventory, but at the same time, not so great for sales. The average sales price per unit was 21% higher in 2023 than in 2021. So we're still at a higher sales price than in 2021, but not that much, about 20% higher. All right, active listings in December 2023 were 53,133. November 2023, it was 54,730. Which was the highest number of active listings in the MLS since May of 2019. In May of 2019, I'd have to say it was actually a fairly, you know, stable market. It wasn't, you know, crazy high, crazy low. It was just stable. So I guess we're going back into a level of stability, but considering how many sales we're used to for the last couple of years, it just does not seem like that much at all. But it's definitely lower than even, pre-COVID. That's crazy. The monthly average active listings for Stellar MLS in 2023 was 45,003. You had to have that little three at the end, right? Couldn't be. which is 88% higher than in 2021 and 35% higher than in 2022. Obviously, because we had no houses left by 2022, but it's still 4% lower than pre-COVID year of 2019. Very interesting on that one. So we still have less houses on the market. And honestly, we were used to having 3,000 or 4,000 houses on the market in Marion County back in 2019, 2018. And we were actually feeling pretty good about ourselves because remember, not too distant past before that, the last 10 years, we'd been struggling to get all of those houses that were in foreclosure and short sales and all sorts of stuff like that off the market. So we were feeling pretty great having gotten all of those off the market and, you know, people were in them and, you know, maybe they were rentals, maybe whatever, but they were not sitting there vacant or, having, you know, derelict houses or something. So, you know, we were really feeling pretty good about our inventory. And then chaos ensued. It ensued from 2021, 2022. It was just absolute chaos. So we're getting back to where we were essentially 5 years ago. So kind of interesting stuff. And that's really what we're looking at is that 5 years of change and the boom and the stuff that's been going on and everything. It's been absolutely wackadoo. I mean, honestly, that would be the real estate market term for the last 5 years, just wackadoo. That's what it was for, at least for Florida. All right. So in 2022, the percentage of year-over-year increases began to decline. The decline coincided with the rise in mortgage interest rates. We all know that. We saw that very clearly. The median home price for the Stellar MLS market area was $370,000 and $382,000 nationally, and that was respectively at the end of 2023. Now, that is not the case for Ocala. For our area, it is well under $300,000 for our median home price. So we are not keeping up with the rest of Central Florida in that. And you're like, oh, but that's Orlando, that's Tampa. Yeah, but it's also Gainesville and Lakeland and other cities that are very similar to Ocala as well. So seeing those averages, we are definitely not keeping up with that. But that's actually kind of a good thing because I think our living expenses, our cost of living is actually lower as well. So I don't know, you can take that with a grain of salt. Mortgage rates. I don't know, maybe I should just toss that one. The increase in mortgage rates over the past 2 years has reduced affordability for many home buyers. Yes, we are well aware of that. They have basically, it was full stop there for a bit for purchasing homes. But then the house prices began to drop and then they really dropped. And so now we're seeing it's more affordable for a buyer to actually purchase a home despite the interest rates. In 2023, median home prices still increased. At the beginning of 2023. But again, with that increase in mortgage rates, you really started to see a decline in home sales, and then you saw a decline in home prices immediately following. And we've been seeing that for almost the last year. So we're definitely down to this point. Now, everybody is, of course, asking, well, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Well, if the interest rates remain as they are, then we're going to continue to see less and less buyers able to qualify. So if we're still in the sevens, it's going to be very difficult. If we are going into the sixes and the fives, which is, I mean, basically what we're thinking is going to happen closer to the election, we will be seeing that happen. Then at that point, then we're going to see even more buyers hitting the market. If we see more buyers hitting the market, we're going to, again, it's that whole process of, you know, supply versus demand. If we don't have that many houses on the market, everything's flying off the shelves, essentially, then we're going to see those house prices rise. So the first ones that get to go and get those houses are the ones that are going to win. The ones that are late to the game, they are going to be paying out of the pocket for that. So because those mortgage rates, those interest rates, you know, if they do decline and they keep going down, that then you're going to see, I was saying decline and it makes it sound like your decline. That's not the decline I'm talking about. They're going down. If those interest rates continue to go down, then you're going to see more home shoppers. If you see more home shoppers and more home buyers, then you're going to see the house prices rise, and then you're basically right back where you started. So when are these buyers going to start hitting the market? But we're seeing week after week, you know, about 10 basis points every week. That interest rate is coming down. So really interesting stuff is happening with those interest rates. And I think it's going to continue to decline or go down until we do hit, like I said, the November, going into November and the elections and stuff. So since it is an election year, we will definitely seeing this, and it is a topic and a hot button for the candidates. So all right. Now, what about the population growth? I know a lot of people here in Ocala are so concerned. They're like, okay, we're full. That's it. No, we gotta keep the trees. So yeah, we don't need any more house. No more houses. We're good. but yeah, no, that's really not what's going. So, basically, there's a lot of individuals that are opting to leave those high cost of living areas. So Ocala has a low cost of living area, and it has a lot of things to offer people. So we're going to see a lot of people still heading for Ocala, especially with the continued growth of remote workers, which has basically been sustained since the pandemic. We're just going to continue to see people moving here, because if you have a high income because of being a remote worker, and you get to live in a low cost or a low cost of living area, I mean, it's the best of both worlds. It's the best of both worlds. So why wouldn't you do something like that? According to North American Van Lines data, the key trends in migration are overall moving volume has declined by 12% compared to 2022. Less people are moving. Okay, we know that. We definitely know that. There was a huge amount of people that were just trying to get out of the cities, and they just continued with that, especially some states. They were still facing difficulties even that far into 2022. It was kind of crazy. Some southern states are continuing to attract inbound movers. The top destinations are South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arizona, and of course, Florida. And that's all been since 2020. Illinois actually retains the highest percentage of outbound movers. Everybody's leaving Illinois. The second is, big shock, California. They're a close second, but more individuals are taking advantage of that remote work, and they're trying to relocate to suburban areas here in the South. So that is who we're seeing primarily continue to move here. Now, what about the Americans that are working remotely? Okay, that really, I mean, yes, of course, there was some remote work prior to 2020, but it was essential in 2020. And so what about those? Well, in 2023, 27% of Americans were working remotely. In 2023, 27% of Americans were working remotely. The increased flexibility of remote work has definitely triggered an exodus of residents from high-cost areas. We are definitely aware of that. We've seen it firsthand. You could count the moving trucks. Illinois has consistently held its position as the top state for outbound moves since 2014. So this is not a 2020 thing. Everybody's been leaving Illinois for a while ago. Other notable outbound states include California and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania made the list. California residents have long contended with the highest tax rate in the entire United States. Now, see, I used to think it was New York or maybe Texas, but no, apparently California is right up there. And that is definitely factoring things in. I know a lot of people were very disappointed here in Marion County because their taxes had increased. Well, it wasn't really your taxes so much as your appraised value on your home increased exponentially. So we may be seeing a difference next year on that because the home values have actually lowered. So maybe we'll have some relief there. But even with the higher amounts that we're paying for those taxes, those property taxes, it is nowhere near what some of the other states are paying. It is just astronomical, absolutely crazy what they're paying. So according to Redfin, approximately 2% of all home buyers in the entire United States searched to relocate to the Orlando area. And that's from other metro cities across the entire country. So the top three cities where home buyers searched to move was Orlando, New York, and Miami. And then, of course, Washington, D.C., there's actually around 66% of Orlando homebuyers search to stay within the Orlando area. Well, what comes next? Well, then they start looking around after they realize how expensive it is to live and purchase a home in Orlando. And what pops up but Ocala? I kid you not, that is how a lot of searches and a lot of residents have come to Ocala, is because they consider it like Orlando light. Same weather, but without the mouse. I don't know. It's actually kind of funny to me that there's actually a lot of people that move to Orlando and don't realize that there is no beach in Orlando. Yeah, they don't know that. So if you guys are watching the YouTube channel from another location, yeah, Orlando, no beach. Nope, that's not a thing. So you got to go to Cocoa Beach, maybe. That works. You can watch the shuttles launch from there. All right. So that was my interesting information. We have some more information on the market and what was happening. I love that annual report. It was just so informative. If you want a copy of the annual report, just let me know and I will make sure to get that over to you via email. Just send me your email address. You can go ahead and put it in the comments below, or you can go ahead and my email address is in the description below. So just go ahead and click on that and say, I would like to have that MLS report. Thank you so much. And I will get that over to you ASAP. It is totally, completely free, of course. Y'all know me at this point. So just let me know if you're interested in reading. I think, like I said, there's about 13 pages here. If you are listening on the radio, you can go ahead and let us know on the Facebook page. That's Classic Hits Ocala. Go ahead and let us know on the Facebook page that you are interested in the Central Florida MLS report, and I will get that over to you as well. All right. So what fun stuff have we got going on? Real quick, we of course have the downtown market, which is so much fun. So if you'd like to go to a farmer's market, it's every single Saturday. There's all sorts of artisans and they're doing their stuff. And there's this knife sharpener there that's awesome. And they do pottery and it's amazing. Oh, the baked goods are fantastic. So if you are looking for something to do this morning, stop on out over there. It goes until 2 p.m. and there's food trucks. And of course, there's all these fabulous restaurants downtown on the square as well. So just walk around downtown, see what's going on, enjoy it. It is definitely great to be in Ocala. All right. So that's it for us this week. But we will be back next week and the same place, same time, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And that's on WITG Classic Hits Ocala 104.7. And of course, our YouTube channel, Great Expectations Realty. Thanks so much for joining us. And we will see you again next time. Bye.
You've been listening to What's Up Ocala? Follow us all week on Andrea Praber's YouTube channel and TikTok. We'll see you next week at 10 a.m. on What's Up Ocala.